that we have Almighty in our midst as we proceed with this meeting. Can we? Thank you very much. We have, as usual, a very tight schedule. Unfortunately, we have Tuesdays with our meetings, and on Tuesdays, every Tuesday, we have plenary, meaning that after this meeting, the house is sitting for our debate. So we are always tight for time, but I'm happy that today we only have the department. We don't have our parastatals with us today. Straight what DG today. Nothing new, it's all what you know. Remember we met earlier to talk about what you want to do this year, this financial year, your target, and how much money you're going to spend. And as you know, our role is to do oversight. It's nothing else. It's what you say you will do. And we want to check how far have we gone in terms of the implementation. But before I say that, I just want to congratulate again the department for the clean audit. Thank you very much. You are making us proud. I think you deserve a round of applause. We've made your department as an example to other departments. As you know that we are having 5 departments in this select committee. To say that social development is able to get a clean audit, they too can do. With the budget that you have, especially that you are not controlling, because sometimes it becomes an excuse to other departments that because we are not controlling the department, we transfer most of the budget. But you've been able for the 2 consecutive years to be very much proud of you in that. But having said that, it doesn't mean that all is well. As we did our analysis, we've been able to pick up some issues. But I think these are issues that can be dealt with moving forward. So members, I just want to say this platform is a very important platform. You cannot separate this platform from what is happening at the house. I'm raising this from what happened last week. It provides members to get clarity on issues that they are not sure of. So that when we're at the house, we are more advantaged than other members. Last week, we had a sitting, I'm using this as an example, what I mean by this. We're a sitting, the education and recreation, and we have the department presenting. I personally asked a question on this lower, the standard of education has been lowered now. What does it mean? Because I know, I attended an apartheid education system. It was far lower than what we are having today. What is the meaning of this? It was clarified in detail. And members need a follow-up because we're supposed to be assisting the house, with the members of this select committee, with the information that we get direct from the department. But it was the other way around when we get to the house. It was us as a committee, members of the committee for education. We were asking the president, the education standard is lower now during a term of office. I'm raising this thing so that we use this platform. If there are things that are not clear about from the department, to raise them here. The department is here. To raise those issues here so that we are relevant when we go to the house. Because we were advantaged to have a face-to-face or a direct dialogue with the department. It is very much important. It's not just only a teaching, getting a report from the department. It's for us to be empowered so that we are able to assist the house. DG, we're going to give you an hour for the presentation. I think it should be enough. I don't know. You will indicate. We'll give you an hour to do your presentation. Thereafter, we will allow, I want to open for members. I don't want them to say we did not have enough time during the committee meeting. I will allow an hour to members. That will include questions and responses from the department. But if time still allows us, we can do a follow-up so that we have enough time to engage with the department. I do want to say, DG, I almost say honorable DG. I do want to say, DG, that I don't know what is your future plans as a department. From where I am sitting, I don't think as a country we want to continuously giving grants to our people. Pension, we understand. But the fact that you have, is it No, I want this NDA one.
NDA.
That is responsible for development. I did raise it in passing last time, but now I want to speak to it. My understanding would say, as much as we are giving grants now, we must also try to make sure that people are out of poverty. They are able to run on their own. It will suggest that gradually you increase the budget of NDA. So that those people whom we are giving grants now, they are out of that. They are up and running. So to develop and to contribute to the economy of the country. I'm not saying increase the budget, but I'm just saying that is my thinking where I'm sitting. That as much as we give grants today, but our future plan should be saying we want to make sure that we assist our people in such a way that they are up and running, they become business people of tomorrow. And those people that we are assisting or supporting in terms of through NDA, they should not expect funds every day. They get money today, are supported technically, tomorrow they send on their own. That is my take. I don't know what is the future plan, but I think it should be the direction that we are taking. Then I will hand over to you, Digi. I don't know how you have planned your presentation. You will guide us, but from my side, then I'm handing it over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning, honorable members and colleagues. Firstly, Chair, let's thank you for the compliments with regard to the audit outcome. It is indeed a collective effort, both on our side as well as the agencies that are actually assisting us in implementing our program. But also, it is quite important to realize that it is often difficult to achieve such good results if the political environment does not allow. I think we need to give credit to the leadership of the minister as well, in terms of directing us to the right direction. Chairperson, indeed, we were here not long ago to present on the quarter four, which is covering the work that we have done for the entire year. So it's not going to be very much difficult for new things in the main to remember. Trying to look at the gadget that might be disturbing the communication. Sometimes even if it's on silent, there is some interruption, there's some ways. Chairperson, then we're not going to really take much of your time, especially that the members are really have time constraints. But safe to say that now the annual report presents now the final results, which have been checked and verified by the auditors, which then confirms some of the numbers that we discussed and some of the processes. We have not really seen major changes from those numbers that we presented before. But also, we tried to put more information on provincial-specific data and statistics so that the members get a feel of what's happening in their respective provinces. Lastly, Chair, I think the issue you raised, I think, is going to be becoming clearer when we engage deeper into our future plans in terms of the medium-term strategic framework. We are part of the anti-poverty strategy team that is led by the Deputy President's office. Under the leadership of the Deputy President, there are a number of initiatives embedded within that project. One I can really mention here is the Household Food and Nutrition Strategy, which actually deals with the issues that we are dealing with in terms of looking at the developmental approaches that will empower our people in order to do things for themselves instead of relying on the state. We're also looking at using the same grants that we give to the people and leverage that muscle in order to make sure that people get to run their own initiative at local level as entrepreneurs and being able also to get that market captured in a proper fashion so that the entire value chain has to change in terms of the food economy so that people can themselves be able to generate their own income and be their own entrepreneurs and also develop jobs. Lastly, we will be part of the launch of this next month. I think this will be on the 17th of December. So we have those initiatives, but also there is a project that the minister is running on the cooperatives, which is beginning to give us an insight of that angle of saying how do we get those people, especially those who are in grants, to also be self-sustaining. So there are those initiatives. I think as we undertake those plans, it will be much clearer, because this question keeps coming up, that we are becoming a nation that gives people the fish instead of teaching them how to fish. Chair, Mr. Buthelezi Rushenge will take us through the presentation, and then our CFO will also deal with the issues around the finances, and then after that we will then leave it to the chair for discussion.
Yes, good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, DG, the advisor to the Minister, and colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity, and I think the DG has just given some of the context, but the presentation, Honorable Chair, is structured into five sections. Part A up to Part D is what I'll be dealing with, and then I'll hand over to my colleague, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Appel, to look at the finances. The purpose of the presentation is to inform the Civil Committee on the Department's performance against its predetermined objectives for the previous financial year, which is 2013-2014, as well as to provide the state of expenditure of the Department within that reporting period as well, which the section will be looked at by the CFO as indicated. Part A, the overview here, we are presenting three things: the vision, the mission, which has not changed and run quickly. The vision of the Department is a caring and integrated system of social development services that facilitates human development and improves the quality of life. The mission of our department is to ensure the provision of comprehensive social services which protect the poor and vulnerable within the framework of the South African Constitution and subsequent legislation, create an enabling environment for sustainable development, and deliver integrated, sustainable and quality services in partnership with all those committed to building a caring society together. I need to move down. In terms of the strategic objectives that we were having in the period under review, there are five of them, which we have committed ourselves. This one is to expand child and youth care services. This is done through ECB in the program. Promote early childhood development, combat substance abuse. Fourthly, provision of food to poor households. We are doing it through a Food for All or a Zero Hunger program. Also, finally, to provide protection and promotion of the rights of other persons and people with disabilities. We are contributing to many of the outcomes, especially here I'm raising the chief outcomes, because it was before the two additional outcomes, which is 13 and 14, were included, and we were contributing largely to some of them, and I've highlighted those that we seem to be contributing more, which is outcome 2, 4, as well as 7, as well as 12 as well, and others. There are five programs in the department. You've got program one, admin, which provides leadership and management and support services to the department as well as the sector. Program two, which is social assistance, to provide income support to vulnerable groups. This is mainly about the grants that you pay. We've got program three, which is social security policy and administration. This provides social policy development and the fair administration of social assistance. And program four is welfare services, policy development and implementation. This program is to create an enabling environment for the delivery of equitable developmental welfare services through the formulation of policies, norms and standards, best practices, as well as the provision of support to the implementation agencies. And finally, we've got program five, which is social policy as well as integrated service delivery. This program is to support community development and promote evidence-based policymaking in the Department of Social Development as well as the sector. Part B, the program performance, I think DG has given some of the context, but also it's important for me to provide some of the context in which we're providing our services or in which we need to understand and read this performance report. The social development, I'm sure, will appreciate Chair and the honorable members that it delivers its services in an environment that is marked by the triple high challenges of poverty, unemployment, as well as inequality. But in recent policy development, the social assistance program remains the government's single most significant over the regulation measure or program. And studies that have been carried out amongst others by the SSA, including the President's 15-year review, suggest the social assistance program is the single most important driver of the decline of poverty and has had significant impact in reducing poverty, redistribution of income, as well as reduction in inequality, as measured by Gini coefficient. But also studies that have been carried out by the department and other institutions have uncovered various positive developmental impacts of, in particular, the child support grant with regard to the promotion of its nutritional, educational, as well as health outcomes, including a significant contribution to the attainment of the MTG goal number one, in particular, which is eradication of extreme poverty as well as hunger. In addition to this, the department last year launched and implemented successfully in all the provinces a project which is called Mikonzo, which means the footprint. This project is a service delivery improvement intervention which has prioritized the 23 poor districts. In those districts, we have looked into 1,300 poorest wards, and a comprehensive service delivery improvement plan is being developed, because when we do this, that's where we identify the immediate interventions, as we have been able to provide them in some of the areas that have been visited. To date, we have visited about 64% of these 1,300 wards. The call center as well, the department, and the minister launched a command center for victims of gender-based violence, which operates a 24-hour free line, and this is staffed by 42 social workers and 7 social work veterans. And this is a part of the fight against the gender-based violence. Also, although the department, before I move now to the actual performance, although the department is largely responsible for the policy formulation, it does render some of its services directly. An example of that is the registration of non-profit organization. And the department also works with other institutions within and outside government in the execution of its mandate. These include critical partners such as the Department of Basic Education, Department of Labor, Department of Justice, and Coastal Development, Department of Health, and Rural Development, and so forth. So in some of the areas where we collaborate, these will include issues that are affecting children, HIV and AIDS, other persons, victim empowerment, youth, social security, just to name a few. And given the collaborative nature and independent nature of some of the department's work, as well as them, it sometimes becomes difficult for all of us to reach our targets in terms of if we're able to deliver on all our mandates. And I'm sure that you all appreciate this is just a government-wide integration challenge. Now, coming directly to the performance, I'll start with program one. The first one is the stakeholder management. The presentation is structured in the sense that it provides how that particular target is linked to the government-wide outcome and how then it's articulated into a DSD-specific outcome and what was the other target and then what was achieved. I'll start with the stakeholder management. This links to us as a department seeking to strengthen our collaboration with stakeholders in order to enhance the service delivered Our annual target here was to, in the previous financial year, was to form partnerships with stakeholders in support of DSD initiative projects. In this regard, what was achieved is that the department hosted two major summits. One was the DSD Contralator Summit, and two was the Interfaith Summit during the reporting period. But in addition to this, the department also facilitated the handover of 9 vehicles as well as 2 houses. These were sponsored by the Alimdad Foundation, built at Kwamhlanga as well as in Mpumalanga province. Also, moving to monitoring and evaluation, here as a department, our outcome is to improve social development sector performance. The two targets that we had are one, to produce social profile of vulnerable groups, and this was done as key technical and social security trends reports. Profiling vulnerable groups were produced. Also, was to develop a multi-year evaluation strategy, and an evaluation strategy and multi-year evaluation plan, which also is linked to the national evaluation policy framework as led by the Department of Planning and Monitoring Evaluation, is linked to it. These were finalized for the next 3 financial years. Coming to strategy and business, this we are doing as a department in order to improve our planning as a social development sector. There are 2 targets here. One is, I think 3, one was to implement 9 DSD customer service empowerment programs, and this was, and what was achieved is that 9 DSD customer service empowerment programs were implemented in support of ministerial program. The second one was to provide training to 200 women in business management, and there was an overachievement here as 595 women were trained in business management in the 3 provinces, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, as well as KwaZulu-Natal. Where information is available, Chair, Honorable Chair, at provincial level, I will be providing that, but where it's not, I'm sure the program manager can make additions. Also, we had to implement under legal services a conduct management system, and this was implemented in the period under review. In communications, there were 2 targets. One was to reach 55,000 people via DSD website and social media. And here there was an overachievement as over 36 million people were reached through DSD website and social media. And this can be disaggregated as follows. About 73,500 people were reached through the website, 14,000 reached through Facebook and Twitter, and over 36 million were reached through the electronic newspapers. Also, another target under communication was to organize 16 public participation events for both for the minister and 16 for the deputy minister. There was an overachievement here as both the minister and the DM conducted 89 evidence-based public participation programs, and public participation programs were intensified, reaching about 126,900 people. Moving to Program 2, Honorable Chair and Members, this deals with grants. But I won't provide much detail in terms of if we have not met our targets or not, as I was hoping our colleagues from SASA could provide much more detail. But I can indicate that we have achieved our targets. For example, on the child support grant, in terms of the target was to increase our child old age grant beneficiary recovery to 2.9 million, and this was achieved as 2.69 instead was achieved. We also wanted to increase World Veterans Grant coverage to 396. There was a slight overachievement as 429 World Veterans Grant beneficiaries were recorded by end of the period under review. We also wanted to increase the coverage of the child support grant to 11.4, but we only added 11.1. Increased disability grant as well coverage, and this was attained. Moving forward to the other 3 remaining grants is the care dependency grants. We have observed that there seem to be slow uptake, especially for this grant, as we could not reach the 135,000, but we only reached 120,000. We also had the target to increase foster care grant beneficial coverage to just over 500,000 people, and this was achieved. Also wanted to increase the grant in aid beneficiaries, and the total year was achieved because some this grant has not been very popular, but during the material infusions in Bizos, that's where the minister will talk much more about, which is the grant in aid. Moving to Program 3, which is Social Security Policy Admin and Social Security Policy Development, we had few targets here. One was to produce two oversight reports on adherence to norms and standards for the social assistance program, and indeed two oversight reports on adherence to norms and standards were produced, and these were based on the two visits that were done in both Northern Cape as well as the Northwest Province. We also had a target to complete a discussion paper on the universalization of the old age grant, and as a result, this discussion paper was completed after a series of consultations with internal stakeholders. Moving to the appeals adjudication section, still under Program 3, where the target was to adjudicate 50% of appeals within the 90 days of receipt. And indeed, about 48.7% of all the 1,096 appeals that were received were adjudicated within the 90 days of receipt. We also had the target to implement integrated appeals business information system, and this was done by the end of the period under review. Moving now to Program 4, which is welfare services. I'll start with the first unit, which is service standards and service provider management support. One target, the outcome for the department is to standardize social welfare services to improve quality service delivery by 2015. Our first target was to review implementation of the white paper in two provinces, and this was done as we were able to conduct initial and crucial review of the white paper in both Northern Cape and Gauteng, and where presentations were made by senior managers from the department, SASA, NDA, as well as the non-government organization sector. We also had a target to monitor implementation of generic intervention processes in the provinces, and this was monitored in all the provinces. We also had the target to award 800 scholarships, raising the total to about 5,050, and by the end of the financial year, we had awarded more as 997 new scholarships were awarded for the 2013 academic year, and then the increase was not just to 5,050, but to 5,747. Still under service standards and service provider management support, the last target was to monitor the implementation of the policy on financial allowance, and workshops were held with provincial coordinators in all the provinces on progress made in the implementation of the policy on financial allowance, and reports were submitted to the National Department of Social Development. Moving to older persons still under welfare services, we had a target to assess 108 residential care facilities, that is 12 per province, and instead it was 109 residential care facilities that were assessed for the compliance to norms and standards in 7 provinces. So the ones that could not be included was the Western Cape as well as the Mpumalanga province. So the 109 that were assessed was all in the 7 provinces, with an exception of Mpumalanga as well as the Western Cape. We also had the target to draft the Older Persons Amendment Bill, and this was developed by the end of the financial year, 2013-2014. Moving to people with disabilities, we had the target to finalize the draft bill, which was done. The Baseline Disability Policy has been approved by the heads of the social development, that is all the heads of social development from all the 9 provinces. We also had the target to develop norms and standards for residential facilities, and this was drafted by the end of the period under review. Coming to services relating to children, the first specific outcome was to improve access of early childhood development programs. The target was to develop, the first one was to develop an ECD policy, which was developed by the end of the financial year. Also to develop a comprehensive package of ECD policies as well that was developed. But on building the HR capacity in the ECD sector, the human resource plans were received from only 6 provinces and not from all. And these are the Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Gauteng, Free State, Northern Cape, as well as Northwest. So we are missing KZN, Western Cape, as well as the, So we only received them from the 6 provinces. They also had to conduct, by end of the financial, to finalize our audit of all the ECD facility centers in all the provinces. By end of the financial year, 19,023 ECD centers have been audited, but by only in 2013-14 it was 12,087, and I'm sure you'll recall that in the financial year 2012-13 we'd already conducted about 5,000, and so if it is so now, we have all done 19,023 centers. Also on children, the specific outcome here was to provide safe and friendly society for children. The first target was to increase the number of children adopted by 10% and 1,450 so adoption registered, which was going to give us a 55% increase, and this was done. Also on the target to monitor the implementation of the foster care project plan in all the provinces, this was monitored in all the provinces as we targeted. We also had a target to secure approval of the guidelines, and the guidelines for the registration of drop-in centers were approved. Also, under children, we had a target to monitor implementation in all the provinces of the child and youth care centers, and the, we were able to monitor the execution of transformation plan for child and youth care centers in all the 9 provinces. We also had a target to do screening of 30,000 employees, and by the end of the financial year, 41,441 employees working with children were screened against the child protection services apart D, and when we were screening them, only 227 were found unsuitable to work with children. On the target to draft Amendment Bill, Phase 1 of the Children's Act, this was finalized. We were able to draft the Amendment Bill and finalize the drafting of the Amendment Bill by the end of the financial year. On the target to monitor the implementation of CCB in the model, and this was monitored in all the provinces. Moving to services to families, our specific outcome is to provide the restored family values and responsibilities in order to build cohesive communities. Our first target was to build stakeholder capacity on the white paper of on children, and all 9 provinces were capacitated on the white paper on families by the end of the financial year. Also to build capacity on the fatherhood strategy as well as the active parenting of teenagers program. All provinces were capacitated on the fatherhood program, but only 5 provinces were capacitated on active parenting for teenagers program, and these provinces are the Eastern Cape, Northwest, Northern Cape, Free State, as well as KwaZulu-Natal. On social crime prevention, Chair and honorable members, we had a target to provide training to 63 parliament members on the policy framework for the accreditation of diversion program. Here, we did not reach our target, as only 59 members that were trained, because 4 members that were appointed withdrew before the training even took off. Where we wanted to capacitate us and stakeholders on social crime prevention, we had overachieved 159 stakeholders capacitated on social crime prevention program. We also achieved an action plan that was being monitored in all the provinces, and all the provinces had implementation plan as well as target. On victim empowerment, we had a specific target to reduce incidence of social crime, and this is linked to one of the government outcomes, which is all people in South Africa are and feel safe. Our target was to finalize the draft bill on victim empowerment support services, and the draft bill indeed, members, was finalized. We also had a target to provide immediate and integrated collaborative services intervention in respect of gender-based violence incidents on 24-hour basis, as I've indicated during my opening in terms of the providing context. The Command Center was established to provide immediate and integrated collaborative services to victims of gender-based violence, and the Command Center was launched, and the toll-free line was advised for advertised on national and commissariat to that end. Also, the target was to finalize the policy framework, and this, indeed, the policy framework for the accreditation of organization providing anti-human trafficking services was finalized. Also, the target was to develop an intersectoral strategy for the victim empowerment, and this was developed with the cluster departments and national civil society organizations. Under substance abuse services, we want to reduce the incidence of substance abuse in communities. Our first target was to monitor implementation of the program of action by nine national departments. Indeed, that was done. And over and above, implemented by nine provinces, by nine national departments monitored. These are Department of Justice, SAPS, Correctional Services, ourselves, TFT, Basic Education, Health, Trade and Industry, Higher Education and Training, as well as Department of Transport. We also have the target to capacitate us and other stakeholders on the implementation of the prevention and treatment of substance acts and regulation. And we have overachieved as 458 stakeholders in all the provinces were capacitated to implement the act as well as the regulations. We also have the target to review and monitor implementation of the National Drug Master Plan 2013-2015. And the National Drug Master Plan was approved by Cabinet in June, and subsequently, eight provinces except the Western Cape and one national department, which is the Department of Transport, were capacitated to implement the plan. Moving to services to youth, we had a target to provide, we had targeted the 3,000 young people to participate in dialogues. And here we've overachieved, and I need to contextualize that it's because of the high numbers of the ministerial outreach programs or even big had that we're able to reach quite a number of our young people or their presidents and so forth or any other vulnerable group. Here we are targeted to reach 3,000 young people, and we tripled this number as 9,786 young people participated in youth dialogues nationally. And we had also targeted 1,800 participants in mobilizing programs. We've overachieved 16,070 young people participated in mobilization programs nationally. We had also targeted 450 participants in skills development programs. To this regard, it was 8,080 young people that participated in skills development programs nationally. And this program includes entrepreneurship, computer skills, vocational training, just to mention a few. We had also had a target of 1,000 participants attending leadership camps. And here we have more than 1,000, that is over by 128 participants that attended the national youth camps that we held during the period under review. Moving to HIV/AIDS program, we had a target to reach 500,000 youths that is to be reached through social and behavior change program. Here is 549,355 youths we reach, where we have the target to train 450 organizations to implement social and behavior change program. We were able to reach more than by 51, as 501 organizations were trained. And where we had the target to facilitate 64 community conversations on HIV AIDS, we had reached 86 instead of the 54. HIV and AIDS, we also had a report. We wanted to have reports from 1,200 community-based organizations in accordance with the community-based MNE system, which is called CIPIMS. Here is 1,255 organizations submit administrative data to the CIPIMS. We had also a target to train NIDA officials on HIV and AIDS management program. To this regard, 24 provincial and district officials were trained on TB management as a co-infection with HIV in 8 provinces except the Western Cape. 92 officials were trained on HIV and AIDS management in Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, as well as Gauteng province. We also had a target to provide a strategic view of the National Action Plan for children affected by HIV and AIDS, and reports produced on children affected by HIV and AIDS were achieved. We also had to finalize a version report on the home community-based care program, and a version report has been produced in this regard. Moving now to Program 5, Honorable Chair and Members, we had a target to develop and review one social policy collaboration within the Development Directorate, and a social development sector community development policy was developed and submitted to stakeholders for review. We also had a target to develop and designate 4 policy briefs, and 4 policy briefs were developed. There are 2 examples here which I can mention, and this is linked to what I've mentioned earlier in terms of our stakeholder management targets, which was 1, a partnership between DSD and Contralesa those summits. A discussion paper on that summit was developed by this unit. Also, a DSD reference document on addressing triple challenges of unemployment, poverty, and inequality in partnership with the faith-based organization and religious communities was developed. So these are the four policy, two examples of the four policy papers that were developed. Moving to special projects and innovation, with our DSD outcome is to increase decent work opportunities, skills, income levels in the communities. Our first second was to create 33,007 job opportunities through social sector sub-programs. By the end of the financial year, it was 33,504 job opportunities that were created by the department only. Second bracket was to create 27,814 non-EPWP job opportunities. To this end, it was 32,590 non-EPWP job opportunities were created. We also had to facilitate the provision of integrated DSD services to 9 community works program sites, and DSD services were provided at 15 community works program sites in 7 provinces, with an exception of the Gauteng province as well as the Western Cape. On population policy promotion program under Program 5, we to conduct 18 advocacy workshops and seminars, and 15 advocacy workshops and seminars were held in all the provinces except the Northern Cape, with exhibitions at each event. Events included the commemoration of the World Population Day at the University of Northwest, the media launch of the State of the World Population Report 2013 at Khayelitsha in Western Cape, and the BRICS inaugural seminar, which was held in Heavy View late in 2013. Also, under population policy promotion, we had to train 300 people on integration population factors into development, and here we have over 394 people we trained. We also had a target to conduct 9 capacity building sessions, and 12 capacity building sessions were conducted on integrating population factors into development plans. We also had a target to produce 10 thematic research reports on progress made with implementation of population policy and ICPD program of action in South Africa, and 13 thematic reports were produced. The review process of the policy plus 15 ICPD plus 20 were managed into a single multi-sectoral review process. Also under Program 5, looking at the registration and monitoring of non-profit organizations, our first target was to process check 90% of applications of the non-profit organization within 2 months of receipt. We have overachieved here, as not only 90%, but 96% of applications were processed within 2 months of receiving their applications. We also had a target to provide training to 2,500 non-profit organizations on governance as well as compliance within the National Non-Profit Organization Act. Here we've overachieved, as 2007 NPOs were trained on NPO governance and compliance within the NPO Act. We also had a target to train 300 provincial officials on governance and compliance within the NPO Act, and here is 970 provincial officials in all provinces were trained on governance and compliance with the NPO Act. Also, community development, we had a target to train 600 community development practitioners. To this regard, 859 were trained, where we had a target to train 400 community-based organizations. We reached 411. We also had a target to profile 300,000 households. Here it was more than double, as 784,037 households were profiled. Where we had a target to reach 200 wards, we had reached only 148 through the community mobilization programs. Another target was to develop 73 marine program plan for the 23 poultry wards, 23 poultry districts within 2 provinces in the Congo, which I mentioned earlier. A template for the 73 marine program plan for the target set wards was developed, and 73 marine program plans were being developed as well. We had also a target to promote equitable access to food by 300,000 households. To this regard, only 122,012 households access food through the food takeaway program. Where we had a target of reaching 700,000 people to access food through food bank, we only reached almost less than half, as 346,032 people access food through the food bank in South Africa. Now moving to part 6. To part C, which is International Organization Chair and Honorable Members. In support of South Africa's foreign policy goals, the Department plays an essential role in promoting the country's social development agenda internationally, and the Department is an active member of the African Union, SADC, United Nations structures, which includes, among others, the UN Commission on the Status of Women. And during the period that I reviewed, DFD participated in the International AIDS Conference, the United Commission on the Status of Women, and International Military Conference on Evidence for Action, just to mention a few. In addition, the Department also participated in several international events. These include, among others, the 46th session of the United Nations Commission on Population and Development, to the African Population Commission of the African Union. Also, the Department finalized 3 agreements with Benin, Lesotho, as well as Namibia. The Department also facilitated technical exchanges with Zimbabwe, Vietnam, Ghana, Botswana, Namibia, as well as Lesotho. All these initiatives provide a platform for sharing social development experiences and provide us with an opportunity to help create a better South Africa, a better Africa, as well as a better world. Now I'm moving to the summary of our performance, as well as the challenges that we could note. Here, Chairperson and honorable members, I just want to get your attention, because I'm presenting how the department has performed, and we are making a comparison in the last 3 financial years. You will note that by end of the financial year 11-12, the department only met 54% of its target, and did not meet 46%. The following year, which is 2012-2013, we only able to meet 52%. And in the period under review, where I want to draw your attention is that by the end of the 2013-14, we had achieved 59% of all our annual target and did not meet 31%. But I need to unpack this further to say the 31% or all these rates also includes the target that we partially met. But well, it's easier when you do it on quarterly because you can still meet them in the next quarters. But how we do in terms of the AG is that if you have not met them fully, it goes to red. They don't have yellow by the end of the financial year. So that's how we can do it. But as I've explained, it means there's been an improvement in the achievement of targets in the 3 financial years, and improvement in achievement of our target continued and is much more significant in the period under review, as we are able to meet 39% of our set target. In terms of the challenges, I'll just highlight a few. These are challenges that seem to be a trend or that are common in the last 3 financial years. One is with regards to executive support, which is under admin, where we set targets to conduct or facilitate a particular number of our management meetings, and sometimes these are not achieved. The DG has said last year was just a very busy year, of course, as members will appreciate, where we target where some of our meetings are to be cancelled or postponed because of various reasons. On international relations as well, we have targets to say we want to finalize the agreements, 4 agreements with specific countries, and sometimes the signing of these particular agreements cannot be achieved due to delays in response from the counterparts and others, and the schedule of principals not allowing meetings to take place immediately. Also, with regard to office accommodation, the second to conduct a visibility study on shared offices for DFD, SASA, and NTK has not been completed, and options for accessible accommodation is being consulted and explored with the Department of Public Works. On policy development, the policy for amending the NPO Act was developed and consulted with NPOs, but it was not approved due to extended consultations. The community development occupational framework as well was not approved due to extended consultation with the SW Theta as well as the Department of Higher Education and Training. On the legislative program, there are no bills, chairperson and other members, that were submitted to Parliament during the period under review. This is all from my side. I will now be handing over to my colleague, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Clifford Appel, to look at Part E, which is the finances. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you've noticed that most of the time allocated but finances usually don't have much. Over to you, Debo.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. I'll be quick, although we provide detailed finances on the national, the public entities, SASSA and the NDA, and also an overview of the provincial expenditure and some overview of the sector audit outcomes and then also analysis of the sector. But I will not go deep into those areas. I'll focus on the national expenditure and maybe on the public entities, and then give you some just brief on the provincial expenditure and the rest. In terms of the national expenditure, we spend 9.8% of our budget, or 117.1 billion rand, on a budget of 118.5 billion. Helps us break down on the programs on that 118 billion we have spent in the administration budget, 261 million or 99.44%. Social assistance, we spent 109.5 billion or 98.73%. Social security and members program 2, that's mainly the grants payments. Program 3, Social Security Policy and Administration, we spend 100% of the budget, or 6.3 billion, and that again is the transfers to SASSA NDA. Program 4, Welfare Services, 546 million or 99.62%, and then Social Policy and Integrated Service Delivery, we spend 96% or 304 million. In total, we spend 98.8% or 117.1, as I said. Main reasons on under expenditure, program 1, just the unpaid interdepartmental claims at year end, that's mainly the rental cost to public works. The social assistance, 1.4 billion, members that remember we went on the registration process, and that was the impact based on the updates of the grant beneficiaries. Program 4, welfare services, mainly due to the 2 million, mainly due to the non-payment to NGOs, NPO sector, because of non-compliance. And then program 5, the 12 million due to our change in the strategy for food security programs. Summary on the economic classification, we spend 100% in the compensation of 323.6 million. Goods and services, 331.8 million or 99.35%. The
can I say something? On your previous slide, was it an omission? I did not see program 3.
Program 3 spent 100%. There's no variance. Transfers and subsidies. We spend 116.4 billion or 98.78%. And then capital assets, we spend 100% of that budget. And then we've had the expenditure on payment for financial assets, 9.6 million. We don't budget for this item because it's mainly at year end where we write off the grant debtors. That's not recoverable. Just some indication of our spending items. In terms of our goods and services, marketing and promotion, catering, telephone, consultants, traveling, and venues and facilities. I'm not going to go through this because, I mean, it's, the detail is in there. There's just an indication of what we spend on those high spending items. A detailed breakdown of that amount.
maybe just highlighting in terms of consultants, because it's always the issue that comes up. And this is the breakdown of how we spend the money on the consultants. And it's really for services where we don't have the skills in-house. This is just again the program analysis, which I will skip check simply because we have it in the previous slides.
Percentages spending, and this is the province-wide,
terms of personnel, so it's been 97.8%. Goods and services, say it's actually overspent on 103%. Remember, that's the KZN overspending. And then in transfers, 99.08%. And then capital expenditure, 84.21%. In terms of the audit outcomes for the sector, we've seen four provinces improve. The previous audit findings. Western Cape and Mpumalanga moved into clean audits. KZN and Northwest moved to unqualified without findings. They were qualified in the previous year. Provinces that remained unchanged with clean audits are Gauteng, Northern Cape, and then the National Department. And then unqualified with findings is also unchanged in the Eastern Cape and Free State. And this year we only had one province that had a qualified audit, and that was Limpopo. And that was mainly around the assets that they were qualified. But we've got firm commitments in made by all provinces to that we monitor the progress of all provinces and also to provide support where provinces require. This is just the status in the quality of the annual performance report that has been submitted and the improvement from 2011-12 to last year, the 13-14. And then this is the preliminary 2015 allocations for the sector over the next few years. And I mean, this has been done in conjunction with all the based on the outcome 13 and also the national requirements and provincial requirements. So in average, we have the average increases over for the next year. You can see we're going to have a 7% increase in next year's budget and then a 5%. That's mainly inflationary targeting. And the split on economic certification, compensation of employees, and this is also sector, 44%, transfers and subsidies, 38%, goods and services, 14%, and then 4% on CapEx. For compensation, we'll see the increase to 7.3 billion, 7.7 billion, and then also 8.1 billion in the out year of the NTS, on average 10.28% increase. Goods and services will increase over the NTS with 5.42%. And then subsidies and transfers will increase with 7.3% over the NTF. CapEx 5.32 over the NTF increase. In terms of the program increases, administration 4.96 increase over the NTF. Social welfare services will increase with 2.32%. And there's a huge reduction in the budget next year, and then a slight increase in the next 2 years. Children and families, program 3 will have an average increase of 12.41% of the MTS. And then the restorative services, 14.53 over the MTS. And that's mainly around the building of the treatment centers in Eastern Cape, Free State, and Northwest, and Northern Cape over the next 3 years, 124 million allocation. And development and research will increase with 8.31%. And then basically, the sector still got funding pressures around ECD centers. social worker absorption, the community and child care stipends, and then substance abuse centers around the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much. CG, I don't know whether you want to wrap up the presentation.
Chairperson, I think the time is does not permit for more embellishment. Maybe let's allow the members to ask questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, DG, for the presentation, DG and the team. Can I then allow members to engage with the presentation as presented by the department? I'll start with Honorable Member Zwane, Namburu Kawula,
Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members. Let us welcome the presentation. It was quite clear and clarified a number of issues. I've got a couple of questions, honorable Chairperson. The one relates to the relationship between the budget and the targets that are set. One can observe that the department is very much able to exceed the targets that are set. I just want to check as to how does that happen in relation to the budget that you had set for the specific area. If you say you are setting a target that you are going to have, I'm citing just a random example, we're going to have 100 meetings, and then you have 200 meetings. How do you relate that to the budget that you have set for the 100 meetings? How do you, are you able to achieve the extra budget? I mean the extra target. That's question number one. Question number two is with regard to the provinces that do not want to comply. In a presentation, there was an indication that there are provinces that have not submitted the HR plan for ECD. Now, what is the repercussion there? Because maybe they're going to get left behind when some allocations are made, and how, what plans do you have in place to curb that kind of situation? And then, with regards to the houses for people with disability, I'm trying to draw a relationship between this department and the Department of Human Settlements. There are complaints that people with disability do not get catered for when houses are built. What role do you play as a department to ensure that they get the kind of house that they're supposed to be getting? And also whether the department has actually reached the 2% quota of employees that caters for people with disability. And then this issue of delays, as the CFO was doing the presentation, delay of filling the funded vacant posts, delay in the transfer of funds to the NGOs, delay in the submission of invoices by the appointed service providers. These delays, how do we keep this issue of delays all the time so that we reach our targets on time as a department and we don't have under expenditure or over expenditure? Okay, the issue of provinces that get left behind, I'm very interested in your program of active parenting because it is important. It resolves a lot of problems. Last Sulakona youth that is violent and are involved in criminal activities because of this problem of parenting. To me, it is a very, very important program. Now, those provinces that did not benefit from this, are they catered for in the annual performance plan for this year? Those were my questions, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. In most of the issues, Uma Mzwane has covered me, but let me join her also in welcoming the report and give you an applause. You're doing very well. But I just needed to maybe let's assist one another, because with the grinding intended, you're doing very well. Instead of 72 and 879, you are at 83.59. Maybe if we can capacitate our community development workers, because they are the food soldiers, they assist in most of the programs we might do better than here. And also, you have raised the challenge of officers who are still engaging the Department of Public Works. If we can at least move a little bit faster, because where I come from is just hectic. I am from Limpopo, I am from Skokoni, I am from Tugazi. The offices are at Mecklenburg Hospital. It's hectic in that area. Let's assist one another in that regard. The question is, we have delays in almost most of the things in the provinces. What impact does it bring to departments which understand a budget allocated to them? What does it put us as a society? Because we can't complain about services not being rendered, whereas on the other hand, we've got a budget that is underspent. What measures are we taking as a department to see to it that we follow the provinces in terms of implementing the targeted programs? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to the DG and his team for the report on performance. Chairperson, the performance report, what I have found is that if you're a politician, they can be very strenuous, because it's a very clever document. Usually, there is no wrong answer. Whatever you are trying to pursue, there is always a way out, because it's a document that is owned by the authors of it, and the targets are owned by the authors of the document. You never get to the end, but that is why, you know, if you can find a department, an official, will be caught up in their performance report, that is a very bad administration. You cannot be caught up in your performance report. So we welcome what the department has given us, which is a good thing anyway. That shows good administration. You cannot be caught up in your own document about your performance, about your targets. But what I want to find out is related to what Honorable Zwane was saying. Is the issue, DG, of your target? You are usually way above the target. Are they realistic when you set them in the first place? Or is it to say, so that at the end you are over the target? We set 10 and we achieve 20. Now, it doesn't start with us, because we're not here when you set these targets. It's other people who are here before us. When you set these targets, are they realistic? That is what I would like to find out. Secondly, Chairperson, there is something very difficult for us when we try to get information. The first presenter spoke of the SA Gini coefficient, which is improving. Can you get that table? Because it's very difficult to get. You always get tables going way back to the 1990s. You hardly get anything recent. Can you get that table? Especially in respect of South Africa versus the world, and South Africa versus Africa. We would like to know where we stand. The next one, Chairperson, this issue of underspending, and one of the reasons is delays in filling positions. I would like to know which categories are those, because I'm interested, because at one stage I was listening to a debate, an argument in KwaZulu-Natal over the radio. between the department and some social workers who had been paid for by the department, and now the department was failing to deploy them. Which categories are we talking about? Because if it is inclusive of the social workers, I'll be very concerned. Because they are there, you have trained them, and they are saying that you are failing to employ them. So thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I don't know all the members, those that did not raise their hands. You still want to come in? We go to the committee. On behalf of the public that we are representing, Honorable Kamul, we go to do justice. It takes a crook to catch another crook. I've already identified what is happening, what they will tell me if I'm wrong. Because if you look at what they've originally planned on the avatar game, they achieved 50%. I'm just giving an example. Take program 3, that have spent about 90-something percent in terms of money. My assumption, they took that money for this program and spent on those targets that they overachieved. We got to do that because I need to be representing the public. Because for me, this good work is presented to that present. What will people say if we were in a community meeting? Will the people say what you're saying here? Honorable, do you want to add something? I'm just excusing. I'm a citizen. Do you have something?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've been covered by my colleagues, but my only one is the national concern that's happening with the youth, which is based DG on drugs and substance abuse. And on your programs for the youth, I want to know, is there any collaborative and measure that you have together with the Department of Basic Education to combat the problem? And secondly, if you have, so have you had any awareness program? We seem to be dealing with the prognosis approach, dealing with the problem than preventing it. Are there any preventative measures that you have put in place in terms of awareness campaign, and are you executing that through your NGO, your NGOs, or how are you dealing with it? That's my thank you.
Come back. Remember, I said we have 1 hour. Well, I don't want us to go to the house and ask the president next time he comes. We must ask when they are here. That was on a lighter note. From my side, I'm putting now as a question. I appreciated already the good work done by the department, but as a public representative, what I hear from you, I must see it out there. We are not winning the issue of women and children abuse. We're not winning that. We cannot be behind the doors when some more things are happening, but when they are out there, that part we are not winning. People, they found themselves wanting. And also in terms of education, we are not winning that one. Very bad, I must say. Very, very bad. We are not winning that one. I don't know what are the issues and the challenges. I've noticed that the partnership you had, I don't know whether it's with Health for Health, with Live Life. Do I still see it in the TV? I don't know. And that one we're not winning, as well as the poverty. Yes, some people are coming out of poverty. I go back to my initial inputs when I was opening the meeting. But we must work harder to make sure that people, those that were started giving intervention, they are out of poverty. The issue of Utandi, remember when the minister, who the former minister, Manuel, the story of Utandi. A child is born from a poor family, given a grant, go to school, until when the child is assisted in out there on her own or his own. Who is doing that? How do we measure the programs that we implement? Whether we really reach the impact that we intend to reach. We had a meeting Home Affairs on Friday. That also came up very strong, that there is a need for a strong partnership between yourselves and Home Affairs. They are responsible for the registration of children as they are born. You take over from there in terms of a grant. We want to see that child education must come in as well. Going to school until when the child is out there as a person who is able to provide. I don't feel that all departments come and present, but I don't feel a sense whether somebody is monitoring or taking responsibility of that. But between education, health, yourselves, and Home Affairs, you are the most critical department to ensure that that is being monitored, whether it's happening or not. The corporate branding, I'm just raising it. If I go anywhere, will I be able to see that this is, whether you say SASA office or social development offices? So we just have our offices for the social development or SASA. Are we having a corporate image as a department, so that our group in Omangban, Nonga Foods, according to Bona Gusila, Nova Social Development, also. I've already highlighted on the what I've observed. You, in terms of your original target, you have not spent in some of them equal to the money spent, but money has been spent. The question that they are asking, we are very much happy that you exceed your target, but the money part of it affects other things that you had promised to people that you're going to do, because money has been on other things that we also need anyway. We are approaching the end of the year. Just saying this because where in my previous life I used to do that. There are child-headed families. Child-headed families where during Christmas time, festive season or Christmas day or whatever, when other families will be enjoying that now festive season, families are together, children are getting toys, and food, because the normal grant that you give them, it will cover the routine things that they do during the year. Do you have a program to assist them? Sometimes it may not be coming from the department per se. You may be mobilizing a business to support. Where I come from, every year we will provide those, especially child-headed families and those who are really needy, with them a food parcel. But over and above, because we have we drew in a business, civil foundation, a charity partnership with Mbombela. We started with 5,000 toys, but by the time I left, we were having supplying 8,000 toys to the children who don't have parents. It covers the kids. I mean, when others are saying, I've got a doll, this one will have a doll too. What are we doing as a department? It may not be part of what is presented, but I'm just thinking about the now throughout the country. I'm just talking about the smaller portion of the country where it was happening. Do we have something that we plan for them? Because I think that is where you're exceeding your target comes from. Things like that, things that you cannot avoid at times. Do we have plans to assist these children? Let me stop there now and allow the department to respond.
Thank you, honorable members. I will be assisted by the experts who are with me in the meeting. I think I'll just deal with the more, I think, strategic questions which keep coming. The issue of I think two issues. One, the issue of things that are planned in the APP or in the annual plan that may not be achieved vis-a-vis money spent in full and also exceeded in certain areas in terms of the targets. I think, Chair, you were spot on. But just to amplify the point, the way government functions, not only in South Africa, across the world, you have what we call competing demands. And some of the things that will put you under pressure might not have been foreseen or planned at the time you were doing your five-year strategic plan, because every administration will come for 5 years. But imagine 3 years down the line, clearly, there will be emergence of things that you may not have planned. But besides that, generally speaking, if you are a department, whether it's education, health, or social development, if you look at the APP and you look at the demands that are expected of that department, they are far exceeding the things that you put there. In fact, in the past, we have had come a long way to learn, you know, how to craft these APPs. Because in the past, we had significant things that we would push into the APP and have a big document. But the result of that was that you would probably not be able to achieve a lot because you have these limited resources. Now, the reality of the matter, Chair, is that over the past 4 years now, I think, you know the way the process unfolds, you go, everything, there's a new initiative. You go to the bidding process, and then we all go to Treasury and departments, you know, competing for those scarce resources that are there. But over the last 3 years to 4 years, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the fourth year now, there hasn't been new bids. That process was stopped because of the current financial outlook across the world. And we haven't been really getting new money, except for special areas. For instance, if there is a special identified need in a particular sector or department, then Treasury, within the MTEC committees, then will say we will be, you know, funding that aspect. So what departments do, essentially, every time we have to maneuver within the envelope, you have to look into where you can move this fund or that fund in order to achieve a new priority. I think the example we can give are numerous here. I mean, when we're confronted by the issue of substance abuse, which is a national, you know, priority in its own right, we have to find ways and means to fund things like, for instance, the gender-based violence strategy, the plan of action. It went to the IMC, which is good. I mean, decisions have to be taken, things must be addressed. Now, as accounting officers, you go back and say, how do then I make this happen?
we've got this new gender-based violence command center online. I mean, it needs funding. You've got to go to communities, I mean, and define the new radical approach we're talking about, so that we don't continue the way we do, sitting in Pretoria, expecting that wonders will happen on the ground. Now, Mikonzo came about, which is a good program, which is actually now beginning to give results to us. But I must go to this gentleman next to me and say, Chief, I need to fund this priority because it's important. Then he will say, but you know, the envelope is just, it's a zero-sum game. I mean, there's no additional money. So these are the kind of gymnastics that we play, you know, when it comes to these issues. But you have to strike a balance and get it right. But at the end of the day, as the chair was indicating, something may give, you know, but you have to control that. But lastly, on top of that, as I said, you can't put everything on the APPs. There's a lot of work that is done through departmental detailed plans, Connie, what do you call them? Operation plans. You see, so, because on a day-to-day basis, you know, even for instance, when you have a need to interact with stakeholders, you know, there needs to be a faith-based organization summit, you know, so that you meet all the church leaders. That thing is going to require money. So sometimes you have to make sure that they meet with the president or deputy president. So it's in the nature of ongoing business that you can't stick to your original plans all the time. So I think I've tried to indicate to the chairperson that, however, where these significant changes come, then we do come to Parliament during the adjustment estimates and say, this is where we are moving the money around and so on. Hence, in the report, it clarifies that. Then I think the issue raised also on the monitoring the services to people with disabilities is a very fundamental one. Connie will give more detail, but at a high level, we are now busy engaging in discussions. I think members will remember that there is an announcement by the president earlier on in the year, the establishment of a presidential working group on disability. Now, this builds in the work that the minister has already started engaging with the sector, because we know that there are a lot of issues that the sector has raised. Now, we then, from a governance-less structural point of view, saying we need an effective instrument to monitor whether not only government departments, private sector and non-state sector, how are they actually meeting those targets, for instance, the employment targets of 2%, the issue of how human settlements in terms of accessibility of facilities to people with disability, that's the entire built environment, you know, to what extent are they compliant, issues of education and so on. So we now believe that we need an effective instrument to monitor not only obligations internally, but also with international instruments as well. And we are talking now to the presidency in terms of the performance management and monitoring department in order to find a mechanism. Because even the Minister of Social Development has now been given this function. We're now working on what it means and how effective we can actually exercise the oversight. Because you cannot have oversight if you don't have effective instruments, maybe through legislation or something that authorizes you to do that. So that's one of the work that we are undertaking currently. We must also indicate that we have also been over time looking at how we're designing these targets. So there are instances which other members have picked up where it's just the achievement and the target, they are just completely, you know, off the mark. And I think there you probably have a point to say it's under targeting and overachievement. But we are trying to find, like, remember also, we sometimes have to deal with planning in a very uncertain environment because we're still not very much good as a country in terms of data and information management systems. So systems of data collection, data integrity, and so on is still a challenge. So the sources that we use sometimes have to be the only ones available in the absence of anything else, and that would, could result in discrepancies in terms of projections. But it's a matter that the M&E unit are working on together with the strategy unit services. I'm skipping some of the questions that I know the colleagues will also be looking into. Chairperson, let me allow the colleagues. I'll start with welfare services because there have been quite a few questions there.
Okay.
And then Mr. Nechukwale will deal with that question on the youth and I think it was more about substance abuse and drugs and how we are integrating, you know, preventative measures and, or programs for young people. I will come in if there are gaps in their responses as well. Thanks.
Okay. Wanted to say we have some something. Don't know whether it's branch. We've got some in something outside, some refreshments. Unfortunately, I'm raising now during the question time. You can have some, grab some while we're busy. We can continue with the response.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. I'll try to deal with questions that are welfare services related. The first one is around the HR plan submission, the one that was put in substitute to ECD. I must say that there is an impact if provinces do not submit such information. However, I need to indicate that they finally submitted, but it was outside the reporting period. That is why we could not mention that they did submit, because when the information is audited, those provinces were not part, but they subsequently submitted. These plans, basically, we're using them to assess their capacities and needs in terms of HR, specifically on ECD, to say what are the gaps, looking at the type of services you need to provide and also the skills that they have. Now, the other area is the area of houses for people with disabilities in terms of access. I think the DG has indicated that with a plus that we got a function or we received a function that deals with disability from the previous Department of Women, Children and Persons with Disability. Our role basically is advocacy and also to ensure that the rights of persons with disabilities are protected by all stakeholders, including government and government entities and private sector. We also working very closely now with human settlements, because the question was saying how do we work with them. There's also a project that we're leading with them. They call it group housing for special needs, which includes for people with disabilities who really do not want to stay in facilities, but they want houses that can be either rented or they can be allocated to them. So we are part of that team that is working, because they are reviewing their policy to say how do we begin to accommodate older persons, persons with disabilities, and women with special needs. So we are part of that team, and we are influencing the process because we're dealing with those vulnerable groups. In terms of the active parenting program, in the previous year under review, we were developing the parenting program. But this year, the plan is to capacitate all provinces to ensure that there's implementation, specifically to raise teenagers, because we realize that parents become vulnerable, and also it includes teenage mothers, mothers who are teenagers themselves, to be able to raise their children in a way that is supportive, because they are also struggling. So that's the training we're going to do this financial year. The other question was around substance abuse. Yes, we have a challenge, which is a societal challenge, and it's also international. Now, how do we deal with it in the country? I think members will know we have a national drug master plan, and also legislation in the country. We're one of the countries with good legislation, but I think the challenge is with implementation. Now, currently, as our minister is leading the program of substance abuse, she's also chairing the interministerial committee that deals with substance abuse, and we also have a program of action that was approved by cabinet, which speaks to our national awareness program, which we call Kimoja Northern Confinement Outlook, there is that program that targets the youth specifically and their caregivers and parents. So it is run in provinces. I must say what is missing is the media coverage, because if you are not involved, you won't know. So it's an area that we need to strengthen to say, how do we popularize it, how do we make it known, and how do we extend the reach. And we are working with various government departments. We're working with DTI, we're working with SAPS, we're working with basic education, higher education and training, health, medicines control council, yourself, the NYDA, transport, justice and correctional services, economic development, to make sure that there's coordination. But we bring others on board as and when we implement programs like your agriculture and so on. But these ones that I've mentioned are part of the IMC, and they're also mentioned in the National Drug Master Plan with clear roles and responsibilities in terms of what is expected of them. Just finally to add on the issue of achieving targets, I know the DG has alluded, we also have donations in kind that are not given to us, but we find that a donor will fund certain activities. I'll give an example with the ECD policy. When we were developing ECD policy, UNICEF, for instance, they were paying for all activities. So the budget that was there assisted us to increase reach in terms of exceeding other targets that are within our plans. So I thought I would mention that also. Thanks.
Unless Peter wants to add, the question has been covered on the youth session now. Do you want to add something? Okay, quick.
Thanks very much. I think Chairperson and honorable members, there are some issues, though others were not questions. The issue of the support to community development practitioners that are on the ground. We have community development practitioners program where we train them in able to do certain things within the communities. The second issue is the issue of poverty alleviation. The department contributes to poverty alleviation through many other programs. I will just mention the two, how we work so that the members can understand. One of the integral aspects of poverty alleviation initiatives that we do. One, you know very well that we provide grants, but one of the important things that happens on the ground, we are the department that does what you call household profiling, which is the initial assessment of household that will be able to determine who is in the household, what conditions they are, and from that data, we then provide interventions or we refer to other government departments for their activities. We refer, if it's an issue of water, if it's an issue of a child-headed household, we will provide those interventions on the ground, and those are done by CDP. The other aspect in terms of poverty alleviation is the EPWP program. I think Mr. Ramachandra is next door to me, will be able to say how many people are being employed as part of the poverty alleviation. The other aspect which is important is the issue of the child-headed household. What programs does the department have in terms of child-headed household? During the profiling of household, I will just make an example of Mpumalanga, which profiled every household and the Northern Cape. They are able to pinpoint at a given time where are the needs in terms of the child-headed household, and ensure that an integrated plan is developed. One of the examples of that integrated plan is the issue of Operation Sukumasake in KwaZulu-Natal, where all government departments are requested to go and assist those children in the household. The last program that we provide, which has got two in one, is the issues of food security. We might have not, on the program you might have seen, we have diverted in terms of not spending all the money. But we have got a household food and nutrition programs. That is an integrated plan between ourselves, the Department of Agriculture for food production, education for the school nutrition program and the Department of Health to ensure that the food that we are given are much more nutritious. What we do, we as a department, establishing the food and nutrition development centers in the pocket of poverty areas where children and people will be able to go and eat once per day. A minimum of 122 people will be able to go to those NDCs. We also collaborate with our sector, which is the SASA, where we find that the household doesn't have food. There's no one working. We request SASA to provide SRD, relief of social distress, for a period of time as prescribed by the Social Assistance Act. So I think those are some of the things that the department does. But we should also highlight, through the Mekonzo program of the minister, we have seen that there is very great need out there that I think the department alone and those few that have highlighted will not be able to deal with everything that we find outside. We see abject poverty when you go out, wherein day in and day out, there are families that are really living in poverty. And an example of what has been branded here for the Tandi. The last issue is our collaborations with Love Life. Love Life focus on the youth, and they have got programs in all 9 provinces, but not equally. Their role is to deal with the youth, exposing youth to and promoting the issue of the HIV and AIDS, but also looking at other structural drivers of HIV and AIDS. For example, among the youth, they use substances, then they do abuse of women and children, and that contribute to HIV and AIDS. And through Love Life program, which are in most of the informal settlement, we are able to reach over 8,000 youth on a yearly basis. There is still room for improvement because it's not comprehensively in all areas. They are also now in farm areas, even though there are some challenges in the farm areas. But the program tries to deal with the issues of HIV/AIDS and deal with other issues that contribute to HIV/AIDS. One of the examples is which could be contributed to that is the reduction of the HIV/AIDS prevalences between the ages of 15 and 24 amongst the boys, which is something that I think there is some even better uptake on issues of condoms for those children. But I think our collaboration, continued collaboration with Love Life, I think it has got a better prospect of us winning the battle, even though we have to deal with what Connie mentioned on the issue of the women and child abuse issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Two more issues I think that are important. One, I think there's a question raised on the branding. We've been working on this. In fact, we have improved a lot since. There's two aspects of it. One is the look and feel of social development in terms of communication tools and so on and so on. But the most important one is on specific services. We've been working now over the last 2-3 years on a infrastructure plan. Now, in terms of this, we are saying our facilities that are state-owned ones, they are those owned by the NGO sector or private sector. We are developing, firstly, the minimum standards of what they should provide as a basic minimum. For our own offices, in terms of design and layout, we are looking at how social development offices uniformly should be having the basics. Remember, we are in an intergovernmental relationship because this is a concurrent function. So we work with provinces. You would see even now that they still have their own logos. We've got our own logo as social development. But beyond the logo, we're looking at now the front office design, and also at the call phase where we interact with services, the basics that needs to be there. It was quite easy with SASSA because SASSA is a national agency. So if you go to SASSA offices, you will find, you can actually feel the brand. Of course, in some areas like service points and satellite offices, you may still find challenges, but some of those, the CEO is putting up money to be able to roll out that. So our infrastructure strategy is to look into those norms, but look into the issues of design so that we can also dictate to those who provide social development services what basics needs to be in place. The last question, I think, the story of Tandi. I think, Chair, you are spot on. I will be brief on this because it can take us quite a long time to discuss. But the important thing is government has now realized that in order to deal effectively with poverty, we need to have an integrated approach, and somebody, as the Chair was saying, must monitor the impact of that. Now, this is why there was a conscious decision to establish the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. Their function is precisely to look into whether the work of government departments is in fact integrated. There must be a continuum of services. There must be an entry point and an exit point. The story of Tandi is when Tandi is born, what are the life chances? What will Tandi be in the future? And it actually paints a picture where, because she is born in poverty, when she finishes a matric, if she's lucky, and then all the hurdles that she gets into in life. Now, the department must come in. The anti-poverty strategy of government begins to pull that together. And if you look into that and look into the new approach that government now is going to roll out in terms of the BIPFAS results, where every stakeholder that has got a role in the breaking that cycle must come into the party and then have a clear identification of what the role is. Then, coupled to that, we also signatory to the ILO resolution on the social protection flow. Now, we've been doing a lot of things, providing a lot of services or basket of services and packages, what we sometimes refer to as social wage. Now, the question is, we need to have a system of monitoring all the services that we provide to households and to individuals in order to make sure that we break the cycle of poverty. Amongst other things, we've piloted was the NISIS. NISIS is basically the National Integrated Social Information System, which has been used by some of the key departments for profiling, but also it's supposed to function as a database of information, national information database for individuals and households in terms of the profile, so that we know that this person gets free basic water, this person gets free basic electricity, free education if it's part of the small fee schools that the child will be attending, grants, that child is getting a grant, and so on. So that is all going to be housed into that database. But then all the interventions that are required of that person in order for that person to be able to be successful in life and to break that cycle will then enable the M&A department to monitor when they do over time impact evaluation, be able to follow that child and trace that child in terms of progress, in terms of life cycle. So these are the kind of things, Chairperson, that will take us there. So in our strategy is also we've got our own input in terms of the outcome 13. If you look at sub-outcome 6, it speaks to this issue of development of systems and also the M&E solutions. We now call it National Integrated Social Protection Information System because we want to take into cognizance of all the critical work done by the other departments falling under social protection as an outcome. Instead of us measuring just what social development is doing, we are looking at all the work that is done by the other stakeholders and put it into that database so that we have information that will be able to track progress in terms of the intervention that government is making on various individuals. Yeah, I think in the main we covered. Okay,
Madam Chair, there was a question from Honorable Kaula on the on the Gini coefficient. There were pieces of work that we did. Was as a department we were looking at the we're designing the impact evaluation of the child support grant, which is a record of study that we have done as a department. There were also other works that we did, especially in partnership with UNICEF, during the economic downturn, of course, FFC, the Fiscal Financial Commission, undertook work in looking as to what then becomes the impact of this economic turmoil, especially to children in poor households. And the indications were that, of course, it was the child support grants and some of the government interventions that were able to assist the families, especially those households, in smoothing the consumption because of probably someone being laid off at work and so forth. But then we did a follow-up, which was much more qualitative as well, and of course proved that some of these government interventions, including the UIF in particular, this one, was able to assist the households. But over and above that, there were other studies done by people like Harun Burat, who then found that without this 72% that is spent as government in terms of the fiscal forecast, which large part of it goes straight to poor people, is here, when we talk about Gini coefficient, we're talking about income inequality here. And it says that without the assistance of these grants, probably households would have been at 0.74% Gini coefficient rather than the 0.69% where we are at right now. Even our own studies, they do show that there's a remarkable impact of the child support grant on poverty, reduction, human capital development, as well as reduction in risky behaviors. But we are saying as a department that we do recognize that some of these interventions need to complement each other. So we need to have policies not only to focus on specific ones, but to make sure that we have a complementary approach. But we can share the detail with the honorable members if they need, if we need them. But there is sufficient evidence that shows that the impact of grants, including on income inequality. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. On gender-based violence, the Department for Social Development has launched a command center to address the ikhona i-follow-up eyenziwayo kwezo cases, mhlawumbi ukuripota nje then iphelele apho. Okwesibini, isihlalo, ukuba uyandivumela uzukhawuleze unqande. I-National Department on Social Development ine-program ekliye kunjalo nje encedisana naba bantu bahluphekileyo, ungakumbi kwezi ndawo zihlelelekileyo phaa ezilalini. Ngo-2011, 2012 kuba ndiphazama uyondincedisa uDG uzasincedisa kule nto ethu elubala walontshwa iprogram phaa nguminista yokuzama ukukhupha aba bantu endlaleni. Ingaba ikhona indlela idepartment eqinisekisa ngayo into okokuba lento ine-monitoring yezi project? Umzekelo, kunale project ingumikhonso ngoku intle nayo, kodwa ixhala lam wena sihlalo yinto ethi ingaba ikhona niplan okanye indlela yokuqinisekisa into yoba eza project zinayo yona imonitoring nokuevaluate into okokuba sekuhanjwe kwaphela phi, ziyaqhubeleka, akuyo nto nje lonjwa namhlanje ngomso iphelele. Just ndikutshekisa sihlalo, ndithethe uyawuthindiwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. You said in your response, so what is, you said the Gini coefficient is 0.69 as compared to the previous?
If we did not provide these grants as government, we would be sitting at 0.74, but because of grants, it's lower, it's at 0.69.
Another question that I had through you, Chairperson, is the population, you are responsible for the population register, isn't it?
It's Home Affairs, which is deals with population register. The Vice Association system is within the Department of Home Affairs.
But you would have information notwithstanding as to is the population decreasing or increasing?
We are responsible for the population trends, migration issues, mm-hmm. and all the related dynamics.
Mm-hmm. What is the status quo?
Can I have the meeting?
I can throw you to.
Just ask questions, they will respond. I'm okay. Avoiding this
dialogue.
Yeah. Just raise your questions and then they'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's leave it if we don't have a ready answer. I wanted it to be truly to something. But my question is the issue of ID that was raised by the AG. Are you having any plans to ensure that your IT systems are improving? And is there a way whereby you can actually share the systems with other departments as well? Because I heard the Department of Health they've got the best IT system that could actually be used by various other departments in order to prevent the issue of working inside and share some of the systems. And then the last one, when you make interventions in provinces, like for instance, you had a campaign where you were teaching women about their rights, the rights of women legally, and then you say we're going to go to Gauteng, we're going to go to the Northern Cape or whichever other province, what informs you? Are those interventions informed by some kind of research that you make, and then you decide that these are the provinces that are going to be given priority? And lastly, your under expenditure in the program, where there's under expenditure, I think program 2, 4, and 5. The reasons for the under expenditure are the same as the previous financial year for which you are responsible. So are you having systems in place now to ensure that you don't repeat the same kind of submission to the auditor general?
Any responses?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will deal with the GBV Command Center. With this Command Center, as indicated during the presentation, we've got 42 social workers who are manning the line and also 7 social work veterans who are serving also as supervisors or support to the social workers that are dealing with the cases directly. However, in addition, what we did, we trained 10 social workers per district so that they do follow up, because there will be cases that beyond the online counseling and support, they would need further follow up. So those 10 social workers per district are the ones that are currently doing the follow ups. In terms of statistics, as I speak up to yesterday, we have attended 2,518 cases, of which they range from abandonment of children, indecent assault, physical violence, rape, verbal abuse, economic abuse, sexual harassment, and so on. The highest is basically on physical violence, which rated 629. So I think we're beginning to pick up trends that will assist us in terms of how do we focus our energies and resources in terms of supporting the victims and also strengthening prevention efforts. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just with regard to the systems, whether we've got systems in place for under expenditure, yes. But before I answer that, just to respond on the under expenditure on the programs. On program 2, with regard to the re-registration, we're going to see that this is still going to be the case because we're still in the process of vetting these grant beneficiaries. I mean, we've seen that we still have been terminating again fraudulent grants. So that might still be in the next financial year, although we've started to see during the council that our uptake from the grant that we terminated, some of those people came back with legitimate documentation. But we will still see a reduction in this maybe in the next financial year. And then in terms of the issues, and it also relates to the previous question with regards to these delays, mainly the transfers to the NPOs, yes, we've put in place. And I mean, this is mainly the most extreme cases where we don't transfer these funds, and we do the utmost best to make sure that we capacitate the NPO sector and the NGO sector so that they can be compliant and so that we can transfer those funds. Because the impact of any under expenditure, as you say, it's service delivery on the ground. And then in terms of service providers, we do apply penalties, we expedite where possible, and if not, we definitely then also cancel those orders to the service providers. But we definitely have systems in place to expedite in terms of the procurement system, and also in terms of the capacitation of the NPO sector. Thanks.
Honorable Chair, or Acting Chair, and honorable members, on the issue of the program too, like he was explaining on the issue of the registration on the SASA side, you'll find that for the next coming 3 or 4 years, because of the arrangement that has been done through with National Treasury, that they said that we need to all the time when we budget for the grants, we need to budget a little bit more. So the savings is going to come through all the time every year until they were still negotiating on the issue that the money must not come via us, must go straight to SASA. So it is still going to be reflecting on my budget as an under expenditure, because we have been told that we must do that by National Treasury.
Thank you very much. On the monitoring of launched projects, well, indeed, we do our best to ensure that we follow up and monitor. As I indicated, area is an integrated task, because we have to work with the provinces and local government in some instances. If you look at Mkonzo, Mkonzo in fact is our future community development model that we will be running in the country. We have designed it in such a way that it gives us feedback on specific information. We collect information to minute detail, and we capture that information. And we have actually partnered with University of KwaZulu-Natal with experts and professors there who are assisting us with analyzing that data so that we can actually make sense of it. And they have presented a very, very good report in our recent workshop. We had a two-day workshop that looking at the outcomes. Now, in terms of the other poverty alleviation programs, these are the ones we are now looking at migrating into the, for instance, the Food for All program that we launched. We learned some lessons there. It's not always easy. Just dealing with poverty, it requires a lot of stakeholders on the ground. You have to have your local council, your municipalities in action. You have to have your other stakeholders in the locality, including your traditional leaders, in action. And what we've seen that the Mkonzo approach is actually all-embracing, it covers issues of poverty alleviation, it covers issues of education, early childhood development, all those kinds of services in a broad sense. And we are moving that direction as a way of the future in the country. And as I said, the introduction of this anti-poverty strategy also is part of all these elements fitting into that national broader strategy. You've got your Mkonzo approach, you've got your household food and nutrition program, where we have our community nutrition and development programs and so on. So it's beginning to gel together. I'm not sure if I'm going to necessarily want to demonstrate specifics.
Yeah. Yes, thanks, Chair. I wanted to mention the issue. There was a question which was raised about when we intervene in programs, what informs the intervention. I will take, for example, the issue of the launching of the Food for All program in Mahori. I think the Honorable Member mentioned in 2011. This was after the household survey has outlined that the prevalence of malnutrition among children aged under 5 was highest in the Northwest, followed by KwaZulu-Natal. Also, the General Household Survey of 2010 highlighted that in the area of Northwest, a lot of 33.3% of the household experience hunger more often in those areas. And indeed, that's why we launched the program in Mahori, in the Northwest province. After the launch of the program, you realize, members, that the Mangaon resolution proposed a household food and nutrition program instead of food for all, and that delivers food directly to household and ensure 3 approach of accessing the food. One is through the food parcel approach, where you find that the household has got no food or they are poor and there's no one working in the house, that we are going to provide food parcels. Second one is through referral to any NGOs that provide food, like Meals on Wheels, Food Bank, etc. The third one, which is why we launched the program, that we need to begin to feed the people ourselves, to cook food. People come in with the center to eat those food. And as I'm talking now, we in those areas, we have already established what we call community nutrition development centers, where people are going to go to that center and eat on a daily basis, so that we alleviate issues of hunger and poverty. While on the other side, the development aspect is that center must also be able to produce their own food. And also the promotion of the cooperatives that are around for the food production, so that we can buy from them and feed the people. So it's a comprehensive approach of dealing with hunger, but also dealing with poverty, and also developing the community so that they can deal with issues for themselves. The other aspect is also ensuring that this ECD, where they are feeding food, we also make sure that they eat nourished food that are tested. They also ensure that any dropping center that they are providing food is ensured that they must provide nutritious food. So it's a comprehensive, which fits well into the poverty alleviation and anti-poverty strategy that we have in the country. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, DJ, for the responses that we got, but I still did not get my response that come Christmas Day, those children who don't have food, especially child headache. Peter, he's talking like we are not here, just reading on papers. We are from there. You see it when you go out, but we are staying with those people. Is not as good as we think it is. Do you want to respond on that one?
Although I would have loved, Chair, if you were to say you withdraw the question. Chair, indeed. I mean, we have been for a number of years now been considering the issue you raised, Chairperson, about the plight of the vulnerable children specifically when it comes to Christmas time. You know, when it comes to January, we almost say when it comes to issues of uniforms, and we work very closely with SAPA on the SRC. But we have, you know, the challenge is quite broad. I mean, if you were to look at children who are from poor households across the land and try to reach all of them during Christmas season, it's a daunting task. But I think the chair's suggestion also might actually work well, to say we need to mobilize South Africans around this period. Because it can't be a government baby, I mean, only. I mean, what is the private sector doing? The other I know, for instance, these organizations that provide aid and humanitarian aid, to they do come out during that period.
the period they usually target is this Christmas season, but also in winter, when the winter comes in, those who are have nothing, they're always protected. So we do have our rolling programs that are also targeting, you know, vulnerable children. I know last year, for instance, if you remember, we were having an event in, I think, KZN province for children, and there was quite a huge number of children across the province that were covered there. But as I said, you know, you can't be proud of yourself of a province. What about the other 8 provinces? And the challenge is quite huge. But it's something that I think we will also explore in terms of the mobilization during this period, over and above the current mobilization strategy that's already there through Migonzo and so on. But it is a matter of a national interest, as you said.
Thank you very much, PG. I think you tried your best. We cannot finish our problems in one day, in one meeting, just one meeting. Thank you very much for the responses that we got from you. I must say that there are a number of initiatives that the department is coming up with. But for me, it's a question of collaboration with other relevant stakeholders, especially municipalities, local municipalities. They're very, very much relevant to this department. The issue that I'm talking about, they can play a major role, including the household survey. That data is very critical for local municipalities. Even the story of Tandi for me, this should serve as the base information to start this project. Because you cannot go around and find out who is who away, where is the children coming from. But if you have this information in our data somewhere in the system, it's very easy to code. You can code them. Those who are from poor families, code them. Then those who are doing IT, they know what I'm talking about. I do understand that MNE in the presidency is doing that, but I still feel that there must be a department that is responsible for that feeding to MNE in the presidency, of course, because they are responsible for all other departments throughout the country. I think there's a need for improvement on planning. CFO and somebody, I heard that there's somebody from strategy. Those who are from strategy and MNE, they know that everything should be part of the plan. You can't say there's money somewhere, we just spent for operation. There's no such a thing in planning language. It has to be planned properly. Leaving as it is, that we don't have money for everything. And as much as we understand the pressures, but there's a need for improvement of planning, and so that we can account for the money that we use the way we're supposed to be doing. There is also a need for me of improvement in terms of substance abuse. We are not visible in such that it looks like government is doing nothing about substance abuse. We are doing things, I know. But I think we need to be more vigilant when dealing with that. That includes your children and women abuse program. We need to improve in that area. I said earlier we are coming up with very good programs, but the follow-up on the program, maybe it's because of the collaboration that we have. There was a program on war on poverty in Rome. It was very popular those days. I was still an official. I don't know what happened, whether it has been upgraded to something else, I don't know. But all what I'm saying, there's a need that we collaborate, especially with the local municipalities. I know you're working with provincial government, but local municipalities are not that at the level where you are operating. Finally, your home-based care you don't have to respond to jump, just raising it as an issue. I raised it last time that there are those women who have been there for Labanda Makula Makula. But parallel to that, I know that Department of Health might be part of that. We appoint other people, I don't know what to do, we call them C something, but community. Yeah. It doesn't go well for me, because you have these people who've been doing voluntary and getting that on some of them. But you're appointing other people now who are getting something. How do we, I know that maybe there's a certain standard or qualification that you require, but how do we empower those that are there already so that you don't create that thing that now that there is money, we are left out. So I thought I should raise those things, but in general, we're very much happy with the work that we're doing as a committee. Kunalendo 18, Kushawe Dombai, Mesizo. Tinja, Kongota, Imode Hamba, not the name. So it's not because you're not doing anything. Thank you very much, DJ and the team. The meeting, yeah, we release only the department. We have to approve our minutes with my members. Can I just make it put on record that I received my apologies, the minister who is attending the cabinet committee today, and the apology of deputy minister who is hospitalized. These two are beyond our control. Can we excuse the DG in the team here and we approve quickly our minister? Thank you very much, DG. Honourable members, we've got two sets of minutes as they are moving out. We've got two sets of minutes that we need to approve. But it's not. Honourable Member, it's us now, the department is not here. Which might, I don't want us just to do, which might mean that I'm a minute, we're talking about the minute. We did not see it, even, which means that next week Tuesday, we're meeting next week Tuesday. So we can approve our minutes during the education city. Can we do that on Friday? Honorable Stock, we are still in a meeting. Can we take the education? Can we do that on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's fine. I'm talking about 2 steps. This one will approve next week Tuesday. Okay, can you then declare the meeting closed? Thank you very much for your question. Okay, thank you very much.